When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
During you guys' first decline, like, what was going on through you guys' head?
I was still partying. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about shit.
I think that's what happens. You try to ignore it with partying, buying stuff. You try to hide. You try to hide the fact that, fuck, people aren't really fucking with it until it really sets in. And when it really sets in is when you got to deal with it. The thing about being with Ranch is they're not behind you. They're not calling you every day. They're not, hey, you have to get up and do a TikTok video. They're, like, there to offer their resources, and you do what you can with them, you know? And we didn't know that, bro. We didn't realize that. And Jimmy would tell us what he would tell us, like, bro, you guys got to start dropping more. And we didn't listen. Wait, we were
tour. We were just fucking enjoying the money, enjoying the high life, enjoying the girls, the parties, the alcohol, everything that comes with it, you know. And you kind of fall like como
que. I feel like you get comfortable with that, bro. When you blow up and you become somebody and you're famous and all this, it's inevitable. Your ego is gonna be a fucking thing. Just like Freddie says, it's very relevant, and it's like gonna kind of control the way you act towards other people that are in the same line of business, you know. Like,
what's up, guys? Welcome back to another Augusto Baba podcast. Show. If you guys are new to the channel, make sure you guys like, comment, and subscribe. Today, we have two special guests for the second time. You guys have very asked for this podcast guests. Again. Yes. We had a great time. Today, we present Los Hijos de García.
Yeah, that's right.
Hijos de García in the building. Second time around. Excited as fuck.
Yeah, thank you guys, bro. Yeah, thank you guys. We appreciate the invitation.
We hit him up.
Sure, we hit him up, to be honest with you. We're like, hey, let's back on.
Hell yeah. No, but it's good. We were planning to invite you guys again, you know, season three, new year.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, right, bro. No, for real. Earlier, you were just saying, that he never reaches out. He's like, yeah, we never reach out to any artist.
No, but remember we're at the Fuerza Regis party? We were like, everybody that went to the garage, you know, the OG ones, like, the invitation's already there.
Dope.
And we did say that.
Yeah, we did say that.
We did. I was probably drunk as fuck.
You were drunk.
You were falling.
That was a fun night.
Super happy to have you guys here. As you guys know, we did the podcast in a one-car garage, you know, big difference. Now we're at the Spotify studio.
Yeah. Big time.
And
shout out to Spotify. Shout out to Sam, the engineer. He really helped us out get the guitar right now.
Guitar, the lighting.
It was a different building. The picks in another building.
I haven't played guitar in a long ass time, so I hope I can play it.
No acordeón.
Oh,
they didn't let us know.
Oh yeah. I left the iPad in the car.
We'll get it.
What do you guys remember for the garage?
That I remember seeing like the sick ass episodes, and it looked enormous like this. And then we get there, bro, and it's literally like everybody's trying to sit on each other's lap.
The door was like, nah.
I think you guys wanted a drink or something. No, you guys were going to a show right after, and tomar algo, and then there's no door. You know, it's the garage door, and then you can't come in and out without making any noise.
That is insane, bro.
It's all good.
Yeah, everybody had the same reaction getting there. It's like, oh, you know, like, where's the rest of the thing? But yeah, that's it.
Where's the rest? That's all we're getting.
Didn't you say Pepe Garza also said that? He was like, compa, he's like, esto se miraba más grande.
Everybody said that. He said a little more, harsh, though.
That's a good thing, though. You know, you guys made it work with what you guys had, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like Pepe Garza made us feel bad a little bit.
It is what it is. I think now you see that, like, everything that was able to get done in that space, you know, you look back. And you see all the guests that went there, and like, there was no restroom. You had to watch out for the rain, because then it was loud or really hot, really cold.
Pee in the bottle.
Yeah, there's like some episodes we have like two sweaters on.
Yeah, like, I'll pee in the bottle. Then.
No.
Nice.
We're going to hate you even more now. We're going to hate you even more.
No, yeah, but they would like go outside and like be like, oh, can I go to the restroom? Like, oh, yeah, like the bush outside.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that.
Yeah.
Damn.
But, yeah.
You know, we're super happy to have you guys again. We're excited. How you guys been?
Doing great, man. Putting in a lot of work for Hijos de García and a lot of other little projects that we have going on. I guess I shouldn't say little, they're big, you know. Projects.
Hell yeah.
We got our new album coming out.
By this time it should be out.
By the time the people are watching it, it should already be bumping everywhere.
Hell yeah. Hopefully you guys fuck with it.
What I do know is that we got a crazy sick ass reaction off of the portada that we posted on Instagram, mm-hmm. where it looks like we're remaking the same album that we started with. Yeah.
Like same street and every corner. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But now it's just
48th Street?
48, yeah.
48th Street. Yeah.
Which we did it on, you know, intentionally for our fans to have that nostalgic feeling, you know? Because mm-hmm. that's exactly what they were replying. Like, it gives us 2018 vibes. Yeah.
That's literally what I said when I saw it.
Yeah, dope. Yeah.
It really did. It really, really did match what you guys were shooting for.
Sick. That's great.
And talking about like nostalgic feeling, what type of instruments are you guys integrating in the recordings of the songs?
Well, we want to get back to this whole album is kind of like
we got back to our roots, like to how the Hijos de García sounded in the beginning, you know, when we started blowing up. Like you could say we deviated from our style because mm-hmm. we were like, as an artist, my brother was trying to find our way, you know, when you're coming up. But I feel like we're going back to our roots to what made us Hijos de García, you know, to what people want to listen to. Like, I always hear this from Rancho. They're like, when I listen to Hijos, it's not to hear some, like, catchy phrase or something like that. It's because you guys have a message and it has meaning. The letra has substance, you know? So we're just trying to get back to giving good music, good history, good stories, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and along with it being getting back to our roots, I feel like me as a composer, I feel like I was kind of losing my initial touch, and I was getting really influenced by other artists that were mm-hmm. coming up at the same time that I was. But then again, I didn't know anything else outside of my, you know, outside of my own mind. Y cuando vi all these other talented mm-hmm. artists that were coming up like huge mm-hmm. alongside with us, I was like, damn, maybe I should go this way, maybe I should go that way, you know. And that's the thing, like.
That's the problem. That's where you shouldn't.
That's where you shouldn't. Yeah. For any artist
coming up and stuff.
Yeah, coming up right now. That's what you shouldn't do. I didn't have anybody to tell me this. I didn't have anybody to tell me like, hey, don't start trying to copy somebody else, or don't start trying to follow somebody else's trend just because they're doing it and because that's the big thing. Don't do that, because. Mm-hmm. Lo que es de ellos, lo que te toca a ti, te toca a ti.
Everybody has their touch.
Yeah. And I just felt like I was kind of following other little roads that weren't Hijos de García, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, my hits kept coming out. I do have more than 18 libras for anybody that only thinks that that's libras. The only song.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what we're getting back to. Getting back to our original style, you know.
You know.
I feel like you're
good.
Who were some of the artists that that started coming out that made you want to like write like them?
Honestly, toda la clica de Rancho, bro. Like everybody, dog. Like everybody was just fucking blowing up machine, bro. Mm-hmm. You know. There was El de la Guitarra. There was Legado, Arsenal Efectivo, Fuerza. It was the big, what is it, five of us? Mm-hmm. It was like five groups.
Yeah, the first
the
one.
The big five and shit. Yeah. listening to their music that was so different than ours.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't see it, you know, back then.
We were just young.
Yeah.
We were young and we didn't have direction. Like, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. thing about being with Rancho is they're not behind you. They're not calling you every day. They're not, hey, you have to get up and do a TikTok video. They're like there to offer their resources and you do what you can with them, you know? And we didn't know that, bro. We didn't realize that. And Jimmy would tell us what he would tell us, like, bro, you guys got to start dropping more. And we didn't listen. We were like on tour. We didn't care, you know, like it's a very bad way to think. But
No, neta, that's the truth. On tour, we were just fucking enjoying the money, enjoying the high life, enjoying the girls, the parties, the alcohol, everything that comes with it, you know, and you kind of fall like,
I feel like you get comfortable with that.
Yeah,
you know, I told Freddie this, and I always like to say that we started off really young, bro, and we were always doing a lot of privadas before we made it. So I feel like when you're working for something for so many years, so long, and then you get it, it's only natural for you to get a little bit comfortable, you know.
Of course, yeah.
So we finally signed, we blew up, we got out of this crazy ass terrible deal that we were in, making money that we've never made before. It's only natural that it's gonna happen, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and that happened when music was changing. Everybody wanted a new single every week, and we were still on some like one album a year type thing, you know.
You think aside from getting too comfortable, you guys also like lost that hunger in a way?
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's where the money comes in. That's definitely
exactly what the money brings to you. It te calma el hambre, güey.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like when you're just hungry and you're like, fuck, man, I haven't ate all day. I need to get home and eat. You know what I mean? And then you eat and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm not gusto. Yeah. Like, I don't even want to think about money, think about food right now. That's how much money we were making. Like, you know, and thank God we're still blessed and, you know, we're still generating and we're still making great money. But I'm saying that's how much money we came into is what I was trying to say. Like,
yeah, we were broke as fuck.
Where we were fucking broke, to the point where we now get on SMO for the first year and we fucking blow up and we get in these fat ass checks. It calms your hunger, machine way. It feels like, damn, like, what the fuck was I ever worried about? Let me get a new Corvette. Let me go fucking, you know what I mean?
It's because that's all you work for, way, and you get it. It's like, it's hard, bro. It's hard. It's hard to keep that battery full, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people that haven't gone through that can type away and be like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I would have done this. Oh, I would have done that. Oh, se pendejaron because of this.
It's easy to say, huh?
It's easy to say, compa. Until you're actually in those shoes, trust me, fool, we're all like, sentimos que we're all like super like strong headed and like, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna keep my level to this shit. Nah, bro. As soon as temptations come into play and you see that, oh, wait, who is she looking at? Oh, she's looking at me. Oh, wait. Oh, who is this check coming out to? Oh, it's coming out to me.
Yeah.
You know, oh, shit. I got famous friends now.
Yeah.
And they're calling me.
Yeah.
Trust me, bro.
That's true.
There's not a person in this world that would say, I don't need none of that shit. Nah. No, hell no.
You guys are the first one to admit this.
I think that's bad. I was going to say
most definitely. And I feel like, well, I wouldn't want to speak on them, but I think like the way you're saying it, yes. And I think, like, to some degree, I've personally experienced it from, like, where I came from. You know, I used to go to church, like, 3 times a week and all that stuff. You know, I haven't gotten rich or anything like that. But, you know, like, oh, like, even just the parties alone, you know, the invitan una fiesta here and there. And I think, like, that really, like, that got to me. You know,
yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the way you're saying it, how, like, people say, oh, well, like, you're so dumb. Like, oh, just, like, people don't understand sometimes how crazy, like, it just grabs you.
Yeah, right,
I had to calm his ass down.
For real, and like all the those successes, you know, because I feel like your whole life you live like so frugally, and then like even if it's not like your own party or whatever, like bro, you know, you go to invita and it's just you see so much excess and it could really like take a toll.
Yeah, man. I think more than anything, you know, congrats on all the stuff that you guys have achieved. I think you guys rode the journey, you know, and now you guys are in a way more like blessed place. Now you guys could like regroup and be like, okay, like where do we go from now? How do we go forward? You know, and I think it's dope that you guys are able to see that because, like you said, a lot of people are not willing to accept that. You know, okay, I was put in this position. Now I need to go forward with it. You know,
exactly. Yeah, I was just about to do a little side note to that. It's one thing to be in the moment and experience everything and be like, oh yeah, I lived through that and this and that or whatever. But I'm so glad that us, particularly as hijos de Garcia, me and my brother, have such a... We like, the way I see the music industry is artists, and this is the real way it is. Artists, there's pedestals, right? So there's ground level, and then there's all the way to where my compa J.O.P. and Peso are at right now. As far as the corrido world is right now, right?
Junior H,
compa Nata, yeah, all the big dogs. All the big dogs, right? So I feel like we're in a special little spot where not many people are on. And there's a lot more way higher than us, of course, right? But I feel like we're on such a little special spot where we still hold a sort of value for our fans that they're still willing to give us a chance to come back each and every time that we want to, you know, bring them more music, more, you know what I mean? And with this, you know, getting back to the roots kind of thing, I feel like we're really giving them exactly what they want.
Yeah.
But that's the main thing, because there's a lot of artists that unfortunately they let that shit ride so far to the point where the fans don't want to see you come back. The fans don't want to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we put something out, whenever we post something or whatever, it's always like equals comeback or whatever, and that feels really nice to me. And I want to appreciate our viewers, you know, the fans that you guys still believe in us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's dope because not a lot of artists can say that, you know, like that chill for as long as we do, and you guys are still like, you know, al 100. You know, that's some diehard fan
most
shit.
Most definitely. You know? I think part of that is because like the songs that you know, like the 2018 songs, or, you know, personally, like that's when I like started listening to Musica Mexicana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it like brings you back, like, no, a little before too. They always want to cook me. They said I didn't even know Coliseado until they told me about it.
Damn, did you? But,
no, yes, I did. No, yes, I did. Okay, well, no, it's because we just like to show off. Because we had him like a while back, and then he was like, oh, yeah, we were there that like your last show. We saw you pull up in the lab and everything. And I didn't know any of that stuff, but anyway, yeah, I just feel like you guys' music just brings back like, or like such a like a vibe, you know, to everybody, like mm-hmm. good times like to everybody.
Time. Yeah, yeah.
So oh yeah, everybody kind of wants to see that. Also noticed on, you guys previewed something on TikTok, and then mm-hmm. people are like, I miss this era of music.
It was us singing "Dicho Libras Güey Legado."
Oh yeah, there you go.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a day that I guess a lot of people mistook that for us doing "Dicho Libras" with Legado for this new album, but that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're doing new corridos.
We're doing two new corridos.
Yeah,
with them.
Alex. Oh. It was Alex's idea that he's like, "Hey man, let's record this a little bit for mm-hmm. Instagram and shit."
Yeah.
Yeah. I see a lot of those comments too, like bring back this era, you know, in the like guitarra, the SMO tour.
Yeah.
Would you guys be willing? Oh, open
hell
to
yeah! I don't. I'm not gonna let you. I'm not even gonna let you finish the question.
Let's just say Jimmy comes up to you and like, "Hey, we gotta bring back the SMO tour."
Fuck yeah!
Would you guys be down?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Without a fucking doubt.
You guys say that, like, have that response, you know, like, you guys is, like, just face like hype, just brightens up.
Yeah.
Why do you guys like the SMO so much, or the idea?
Bro, it was the biggest shit out there, and it's still the biggest shit out there.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's in still...
its time, it was the biggest Mexican tour of its time.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the biggest shit out there is because people talk about that shit even still. Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
People say, legendary. Bring it back.
Yeah, it was legendary.
Bring it back
for sure.
Is what the people want. Yeah. And shit, I would be the first one on that fucking bus.
Hell
you
yeah.
Know?
Yeah, I'm going to... I went to that one, mm-hmm. all right?
Yeah.
And just like seeing everybody that, you know, like you heard on the radio and all that mm-hmm. stuff, it was insane just seeing the lineup.
Yeah. Well, I want to make a side note about the SMO. I remember, I think it was a couple years after like the official mm-hmm. SMO like happened, they tried to do like a second SMO and not too many people were happy about it, like,
because
like,
it wasn't the lineup.
It wasn't the lineup, right?
It wasn't not that it was a bad lineup. No. It just wasn't the original lineup. That's all I'm saying.
And one thing for me, I would like, if it does happen, for us to like maybe me then appreciate it like the right way this time. Because when we were on tour last time, bro, como que. I was in a different like mentality. I was cuffed. I was in a fucking relationship. Worst idea.
Damn, I wasn't. Missed, huh?
I wasn't. Yeah,
missed
I missed a lot.
Everything.
I missed a lot, bro. Nah, but I became single on the second one, so I recouped. But anyways.
See, I like the honesty. Yeah, I like the honesty.
But to really appreciate it, bro. You know, and I even tell Freddie, like, man, if we really do big things this year or even the next year, I want to really appreciate it this time. I want to like. Look out and like fucking consume what's going on, you know, like mm-hmm. Appreciate what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we had a lot of big ass moments, bro.
Yeah.
That in hindsight, I can honestly say, like, damn,
we just kind of passed through it.
Yeah,
huh?
We were like living so fast, so bro, fast. That you just don't see that shit.
Yeah.
You don't see it, bro. We played at places that we only dreamt of. Yeah,
yeah, the Forum.
We played at only places that we dream of, mm-hmm. and we were the, you know, like. Everyone in the lineup was, you know, a spotlight artist and shit. Yep. And what did we do? Just, oh, it's another night. Let's go. Let's go get it out. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. I feel like that's what a lot of artists now do and can't blame them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like where it seems like they don't give a fuck about any of it. It's because they really can't see it for what it is. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's only a few that really you could tell that they appreciate it. Like, I've seen, like, have you seen, like, Alfredo Olivas?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, his videos look like he's really fucking enjoying the whole thing.
He's
connecting
with been around
people.
So
that's,
long.
That's exactly why I say
he's
it.
Been around so long that he understands the way how to really appreciate right. what he's been doing for a lifetime.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for fucking
since he was
years.
Young, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I only hope to keep producing music for all of you for that long
yeah,
and
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
But like I said, you know, I feel like there's... As an artist, bro, there's so... There, and I know I'm going off topic, but there's so much that an artist goes through mentally way when you hit it big mm-hmm. and then you start on that either a slow decline or a fucking fast one. It feels like the fucking end of the world, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the absolute end of the world. And a lot of artists don't know that there's, if you were able to structure your music or your career or your lifestyle correctly, there's another hill. Yep. There's another hill. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like a roller coaster. You just gotta put up with the downhill. Like, you know, I hate that feeling where on Goliath I cried. Bro, I was thinking about it. Yeah, bro. You just gotta deal with that, and it's gonna go back up. You know.
Yeah.
So, like during you guys' first decline, like what was going on through you guys' heads?
Fuck, we were.
I was still partying. I wasn't thinking about shit.
I think that's what happens. You try to ignore it with partying, buying stuff. You try to hide. You try to hide the fact that people aren't really fucking with it until it really sets in. And when it really sets in is when you gotta deal with it. When you gotta. You know, your sleepless nights, you're crying alone, you're trying to figure it out, you know. But what really was a blessing, bro, was having my brother, having each other, you know, having each other to apoyarnos. I don't know, because I feel like what happens in a lot of grupos, they don't have a family member. They don't have that confianza of like, no matter what goes between us, like we're going to be like this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like a lot of them, you know, that's why they split up and shit just, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to be willing to open up to, like, your team, you know? Yeah. And be vulnerable. Yeah. I feel like that's what it's about.
Yeah. So you guys said it, it's set in. You know, you guys have each other. What conversations did you guys have? What's going through your guys' mind? Or what was the next step to take forward?
The big one that affected me, my chain wave, it affected me mentally way, like, I was like, damn, this is what probably, like, real depression feels like. And I think I was stuck in that shit for maybe about, like, a year and a half. Maybe 2 years. I was dealing with the same just dark gray feeling. Was when COVID hit, and we were supposed to get it ready. Like, we were literally like months away from SMO3, right? And it didn't happen, and we were out of work for like a year and a half, bro. And that much time for any entertainment worker, for any kind of like musician. Actor, whatever you are in this business where you have to work in the entertainment business, and they shut it down for that long. What was it, like a year and a half?
Yeah.
That shit got to me, my chin way. I was like, damn, like this is the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even though it wasn't, you know, and thank God things always, you know, turn around.
Yeah.
When you spend too much time by yourself, I think that's one of the worst things that you can do. And I feel like there's a lot of...
Sometimes it's good, though, because, like me, I'm obviously single as fuck. So being alone... Yeah, man. Nobody
wants to look at he keeps putting that shit out there, like hey, whoever wants a real relationship, no playing around, hit me up.
He's like, I don't know, man.
I feel like that helps because you get to actually look deep into yourself, as corny and cliche as that sounds. Mm-hmm. Actually taking time to, like... go deep into your own brain type shit, like it can help, you know, because then if you jump from one person to another person, you're kind of just trying to put a band-aid over the cut and then just rip it off every time, you know.
I see what you mean. I don't know if that's
doesn't apply to what you were saying.
I'm
like on a whole different
street,
huh?
yeah
you're on Figueroa and I'm on fucking another LA street. But dude, the pandemic, I will say that the pandemic, we treated it, at least I didn't, and that was my fuck up. I treated it, I don't know about you, like a vacation, and that was wrong. As when the pandemic happened, bro, the whole clica in RH, bro, if they wrote one song a day, they were writing two songs, three songs a day during the pandemic, right? Me and Freddie were going off-roading, drinking, fucking chilling, partying. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, I was in that little weird kind of, and again, my respects to people who are actually going through depression, but that was my little form of depression where I just didn't want to fucking deal with any of my actual problems.
Yeah.
So we would just go party. We would just go fucking off-roading. We would just, you know, whatever.
That's your justification for it?
Yeah. No, not my justification. That was my scapegoat type shit, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
And what advice would you give to anybody, you know, that has trouble with dealing with their mental health?
I mean... definitely don't follow my advice of like home remedies. Nah, like seek professional help if you have to.
Be around your family.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah. Be around your family.
Being alone is cool, but when you're depressed, being around people helps you out.
For sure. Yeah, being around people that you love, you know.
That you, yeah, definitely. Not people you don't like. You had depressed and then with an annoying ass dude.
Aquí ando deprimido y con este hijo de la verga.
That's me, Wayne.
Aquí son, yo tengo que lidiar con dos.
For real.
Con dos.
Me caen bien estos güeyes.
All right, so you guys are going through that. What's a turning point, or what would you guys say? You know, it's like, oh, let's get back on this track that we want to be on.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. A big turning point for me in my head, I guess, was when we did your guys' podcast, and when we saw the feedback as to how we were on the podcast and the music that we dropped that time. We were almost, we still didn't have a sense of direction where we wanted to go with the music, and when we dropped that EP, como que la gente no lo recibió muy bien because one, probably the músicos that we used, they were a little different. Now we have our own team that we're acoplados, bro. We have a new modern style. So like I think around that time when we did your guys' podcast, when we signed my brothers, when we signed Los Nuevos Escoltas to 48 Music, that was like when, okay, hey man, let's start putting, me and Freddie had to like pick each other up, bro. Like it was it was really hard. It was constant calls. It was sad days in the van, fucking going to shows that weren't getting packed out, like a lot of stuff that we had to deal with, you know, like mental stuff that does fuck you up. But family is one of the best things that'll help you with.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like it was just like a certain point in time where things started turning around. It wasn't like that. It was more like I could take that back, because for me the big turning point was one day I fucking just wake up, and this is from the day that we get the call from Rancho Humilde saying, hey, everything is canceled. COVID is hitting, you know, good luck type shit. And all from that time all the way to Todo Veil being out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
you're right.
So for me, my big turning point, one day I just wake up, dude, and everything just seems brighter. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why does it look brighter in here in my room? Or why do I feel like more energized? What's going on with me and shit? I get in the shower in the morning. I'm feeling great. Take a shower, you know, do my things in the bathroom. And I get out and immediately a fucking song comes in. And I'm like, into my head. And I'm like, oh, shit, I have a song. And I haven't written in a fucking year or two, right?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And all the songs that I was writing, I would have to sit my ass down, like onto into my office, and try to write something, and it would be like forced, and it wasn't something out of my head that was really just flowing. So I get into my office, and immediately, da 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 starts coming out, and then I'm like, okay, what? And the whole melody started forming itself. I'm like, I love this melody, and
You probably then, prayed that the night before or something, huh?
No, I didn't. and then just the words came out. No gasto mi tiempo, trabajo pesado, la de todo veo.
Which is on the album, collabs with Fuerza Regida. You guys got to go check it out.
Yeah, that's the one that we collab with Fuerza Regida, la todo veo, on this new album. But it came out so fluently, and I finished that song in like 20, 30 minutes, bro, max. Which is how I know that those are the songs que si me funcionan, especially to the style of Hijos de García. That's how all of the ones that are the most famous from us always happen. Within the 20-30 minute mark, y me sale todo un chingadazo, they're good. You know? Yeah, once I spend longer and longer and longer, it gets really hard for me to really make a good quality piece. I don't know why, but that's how my brain works, right? So, acabé esta rola, and I'm like, damn, like, I feel different. Like, I feel good. I feel something's back. Something kind of switched back on. You know what I mean? And, I showed the song to Saul. I showed the song to everybody else. They all loved it.
I ain't gonna lie. I teared up when I heard the song. I was like, damn. Yeah, like, facts. Yeah. I teared up because I was like, fuck. I hadn't heard them write like that in so long, bro. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is that we hit rock bottom emotionally, mentally, us.
Yeah.
We hit on the outside, we looked fucking fine. We're all chilling, but we hit rock bottom, bro. Like, mentally, it was the worst time of our lives. 2020, 2021, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because Todo Veo came out May 2022. So,
yeah.
I think it's dope that you guys are able to talk about this, because maybe, like, through social media, everybody looks fine, but, you know, everybody has, like, they said their own set of problems, and then you guys were able to, like, be super vulnerable and, like, say, like, hey, life's not perfect. Like, you're going to go up and down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, respects to that.
Yeah, any artist that you see right now that's living the life, that has amazing, like, whatever you see, all of that shit is for views. You know, yeah, there is a portion of their life that they are living that fucking high life. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole other equal portion, like 50-50, that's real.
That's normal.
They're fucking real. Yeah, they're real humans. Yeah. You know, they go through real shit. They have real stress. Yep. They have real pain. Yep. They have real problems in this world.
They got to go to the DMV when they get their driver's license suspended.
Yeah, he just got his driver's license suspended.
You know, I found out by a cop pulling me over, bro. Thank God I didn't get arrested.
Shit.
Yeah, I guess I was supposed to get arrested.
No. Suspension.
No. I won't get arrested if this comes out right now. They arrest me.
Evidence right here.
Hey, actually, guys are the undercover cops.
Freeze.
Yeah, we got him.
Come on, we fucking got him. We got him.
Come in, cop. Let's go. Break.
Let's do it. What's up, guys? We're back from the break. Jose Garcia right here. What could you guys tell us about your new projects?
Well, the main new project would be what we're pushing right now, which is Hijos de Garcia. The album is called Jalese Carnal, even though it has no title on the portada.
That's how you can find it on all streaming platforms.
Yeah, it's called Jalese Carnal, the album.
Let them know why it's called Jalese Carnal.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, because I don't know why I thought that everybody would know. But
for the people that don't, you know?
Yeah, for the people that don't, at all of our shows or in any music that you hear from us, cuando Saúl empieza con la accordion, usually by the middle of the track, I'm always like, y así suenan los hijos de García, jálese carnal. Or just even jálese carnal, even at the beginning of a song or whatever, whenever I'm, you know, doing crowd work at our concerts, it's always the jálese carnal, and that's what they know us for and stuff. So, yeah, we're like, you know what, since we're going back again into the roots of Hijos de García, why don't we bring them something that we started with? And I started with that jálese carnal stuff, you know.
That's great.
It's like our slogan that you could say that we say on stage.
Yeah. My boys, Herencia Patrones. Clica. The Clica boys, they think that my slogan is como no. They always say, como no.
Because you do say that.
Yeah, they always say that shit about me. But no, it's Jalese Carnal.
That's the name of, name of the project.
Don't check it
out. Yeah, out everywhere by the time this comes out.
Yeah. And this new album, you know, you guys is... like, what does it mean to you guys to drop this album now? Or, yeah.
You know, I didn't realize how long it has been that we haven't dropped an album, bro.
Yeah, I had to tell you.
It's been a while. You know, yeah. Like
2020, you know?
Yeah. 2020.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
3 years, dude. Yeah. 3 years. I thought it was just last year that we dropped an album.
It's been a lot of singles and EPs.
That's why I felt like, oh, we've been doing stuff. But in reality, it's just been singles and singles, you know, and... duetos or whatever, but a real album, you know, it's a special feeling. It feels like we're getting back into that groove, and I feel like you guys are gonna hear it in the music as well.
Yeah, even by that little snippet that people have been hearing, they even say that it sounds previous. I'm excited, bro. Like, me and Freddie put a lot of work into this project. It's been like what, a year in the making now.
Yeah,
the first song that we started was probably like in February.
Yeah, and you guys are gonna hear some songs that have been out for a while, but
they're remade in studio.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a collection, and the majority of them are new that you haven't heard. But it's just a collection of everything that we've been kind of going through the motions and of, you know, finding Hijos de García again.
Yeah. What has been the most challenging thing about recording this album for you guys?
For me, it definitely has been creativity, imagination, with the lyrics. Like, lyricism is something that actually me and Saul were just talking. Well, I talked to Saul about this the other day. We've low-key been filming a lot of Saul's corridos now.
And recording?
Yeah, like recording. Recording.
Yeah, I've been getting more busier with the pen, with the pluma.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying that I lost my touch at all, but it's something that I'm recognizing now, that to a certain point you have to understand what your limits are and what the people want. Mm-hmm. For example, the people want this new type of style that maybe my head just needs a little more time, you know, really digging into and understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think Saul has it. I think Saul has exactly what mm-hmm. people need right now, especially from Hijos de Garcia.
Yeah, that's bad.
But I definitely you know? Want his help, though. I told him, I'm like, I don't want you to just, like, feel like I got it. You know, I'm like, dude, yeah. I need yeah. your instruction. Like even on the way here, I showed him a new one that I'm writing, and he'll tell me, eh, I don't like this, or do this on this, do that on that. And, yeah, even though sometimes, like everybody doesn't like to hear, like, criticism, mm-hmm. I got to take it, like, okay, take it chill, yeah. and then let me listen to what he said and actually implement what he said, you know? Yeah. Not just be like, nah, well, you don't fuck with my shit. Like, you know, that's a
wrong. Yeah, and I'm doing it strictly on making him better as a writer. Because even though I don't come up with the rhymes or whatever, you know, that he's writing, I can, for some reason, my brain just still works that way where I can pick out things that just don't sound good. Mm-hmm. Notes where it's...
It.
Yeah. Yep. And, it's strictly... constructive criticism, you know. I'm never just telling him like, oh, that shit's it's whack, change that and whatever. Mm-hmm. Or not even change that, you know, it's just whack, or like hating on him. No, like it's always to make the song better, and all of the songs that we're recording is because I believe in them as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you know how you guys mentioned that there's songs that had already come out. Yeah. Why did you guys decide to choose those songs to put them in the album?
I feel like because they were good songs. I really like the way that Freddie wrote them, just with the storyline that they're talking about. What I think happened with those songs when they came out when Todo Bell came out. Mm-hmm. And Todo Bell got the biggest buzz. We had Charchetas Toroloche. We had what was popping, you know?
Yeah.
And those other ones were just drums and bass, like our style. But like I said, it was with different músicos que no estábamos like acoplados. We didn't have a style yet. We were still mm-hmm. trying to figure it out. So I'm like, maybe, or both of us were, we decided let's put these in the studio album and make it our style again, you know. Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that. That was one of the main reasons why we wanted to bring them back into the album, to polish them up.
Yeah.
I feel like they were pretty rough around the edges, you know what I mean?
Because they were live.
Yeah,
they were live singles.
Yeah.
You know,
so yeah. And you guys are saying that these songs are what like the people need to hear, what's in right now. What do you guys think of like El Regional Mexicano right now? Like, what do you think about guys about like the change?
For me, I feel like it's splitting up. I feel like it's trying to, like, I can imagine it kind of like that blob of Venom, you know, like okay. The Spider-Man Venom guy. Like, it's like that, and it's trying to split up in like, two things completely separate from each other. Because there's so much hate. It's almost like it's a gang now. Like, all the Corrido Tumbados guys, they don't like the things coming out from Sinaloa. And the Sinaloa guys don't like, you know, like it's like a turf war of who has the bigger fan base mm-hmm. and who has the best music out. And no, this is better. No, that's better. In my eyes, as a musician, as a lyricist, I think it's all music, and I appreciate all music.
But yeah, the industry is definitely divided. I don't know if that's kind of what you mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The industry is definitely divided. Like, you think artists are friends? Like, bro, they are not friends. They are like. It's all business, you know. I feel really happy like seeing how big it's gotten, you know, mm-hmm. and actually the fact that we have a chance to hop back in on this fucking humongous watermelon, that we don't just have a seed of a orange, we can get
the pot got bigger,
you know, the pot got way bigger,
yeah.
And we're in really good standing with Rancho. We have a great deal, so I'm excited, and I'm happy that we're gonna jump into this way bigger
aside from that, yeah, like how Saul said that we're in good standing with Rancho, it's basically we're now, well, like we said in the first podcast, mm-hmm. we're partner now both ends with Hijos and 48th Music, which is our label, and it's just a really great setup for what's coming for us, you know.
It's a great time. I feel like it's a great time in Regional right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think right now everybody has an opportunity, and everybody could just incorporate new ideas. Even though I do think, like, the older people that are listening to the new stuff, like, they're critiquing it hard, but
they are, yeah.
I think they critique it because they're not used to it. But definitely. Then I also feel like this is the biggest time for Música Mexicana, so mm-hmm. I feel like. You can't really hate on that, you know?
Yeah. That happens, I feel like, with every genre when the old is getting out of style and the new's coming in. you know, like the older rappers hate on the new rappers. Mexican artists hate on the new Mexican artists. Like, that's always going to happen, because just because they don't like it doesn't mean that everybody else doesn't have to like it.
I think that, like, in that case, like, it's that sucks, because I think for, you know, a lot of us, you know, you guys have been in a long time. But I think for us, like, it was like kind of like a gateway to like música mexicana, right? So of course we're gonna start with the new stuff, but then, you know, like, you get more into it, and then you see like there's like this insane catalog of like gems, right? So, you know, these older people like hating on the newer stuff, sometimes I feel like, like, you know, like their catalogs also got revived, you know, because of like all these new people. I think it's like a great time for everybody to like
For Mexico. I feel like Mexican music is where rap is or has been. I feel like Mexican music got to that already, and I was telling Freddie, it was crazy to see that. I think Jimmy posted it or JB. It was a picture of a Forbes magazine, and it said Rancho Humilde, and then it said the three bosses' names, that they're the ones, they're on their way to becoming the first Latin music billionaires. And I was like, God
damn,
dang, it would be crazy. I was like, God,
more cars in the compound.
More lowriders. But I think that just goes to show how much the fucking Rancho has aportado to the
machine.
And then earlier you mentioned that a lot of these artists are not friends. Would you say they work together just because of the business?
Do you see them? Don't get me wrong. There are I actually have a lot of artist friends, but there's a lot of things that's done for business. You get what I'm saying? They're not like on friends where they like fuck with each other, like on some we're homeboys type shit. That's what he means by, you know, they're not friends.
Yeah,
you know?
a few I would say are probably like that, like ones that you can definitely
like close friends, you know, that's a very few in the industry.
And what did you say?
Oh, like, I said, like, do they see themselves as competition?
I don't even know if it's competition, bro. It has maybe has to do with ego. With those person's egos, because, bro, when you blow up and you become somebody and you're famous and all this, it's inevitable. Your ego is gonna be a fucking thing. Just like Freddie says, it's very relevant, and it's like it's gonna kind of control the way you act towards other people that are in the same line of business. You know, like, I don't know, it's kind of like a little chess match, you know? Like, I guess,
yeah, you gotta see who's the wider guy. Shoulder motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Not you, Jason.
Not you. This dude said before we started recording, like everything on him is small.
Oh yeah. He said everything went to your neck.
No, but I was telling him how like these are like the public on camera roasts that we'll do.
Yeah.
Si supieran.
Yeah, iban a salir peleados ahorita. Yeah, like, calm down. Real, bro. We have to break it up.
No, we'll up in the car
he's like a big teddy bear, like he's like the softest one here ever.
That was a nice roast.
Yeah, that was kind of a low key.
That's light work, guys.
Were you
gonna
let him talk to you like that, bro?
Boy,
hello, instigating.
I got a new one for you today, actually. But I gotta see if we're gonna get canceled.
See it for the house.
Save it for the house.
What I was gonna say is that what you told Angel almost sounded like you were flirting with him, bro.
I know,
or like a big old
teddy bear.
Yeah, he's like, look at him, such a soft, cute, soft lips, looking all comfy and smelling good, and goddamn. Look at him, brand new shoes.
Sigue hablando, look. Where you get those shoes from? You know what? What?
We already removed one member. We don't want you to be the next.
There you go.
Hey, you know what? I have. This is something that I have seen on comments, I think I just seen it on comments. But now that you guys are. Because, like, in my head, from what I've seen on social media, it looks like you guys have made it to the big time. And you guys have. You know what I mean?
Look at where we're at. We're in Spotify.
Yeah, we're
right
at Spotify. You know what I mean? Like, this is huge, you know? What do you have? I guess what kind of the feedback that I've been seeing from people on your guys' things, whether it not be from your channel, but, like, people get shorts from it or whatever. Y la gente... They like to comment, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Now that they're on, you know, this big time stuff, like, yeah, they changed up, they switched up, like, you guys are acting different and shit like that. How do you guys feel about that? Like, that people take you guys in a different light now that you guys are with big timers like Spotify, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I noticed it a lot too, like with well, first of all, we're like 100% independent, like mm-hmm. we can say whatever the fuck we want. But I did notice, like, just when Jimmy would invite us to like Rancho or something, like, oh, they sold out to Rancho, or you know, we do like these little promos on songs. They're like, oh, they for sure sign, like they're done.
Nah, mm-hmm. que ver, huh? It's yeah. literally like probably it comes out of you guys, right?
Yeah, yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. But I think that. What do you?
What I
do you
think say? What I have to say is that I don't think we realize where we're at.
Mm. Oh yeah, we were talking about that.
I just feel like sometimes like people give you that validation and it kind of like throws you off guard. Like, oh shit, like yeah. people really do fuck with what we do.
Yeah.
But I think I think people like it because we haven't realized mm-hmm. like where we're at or how far we've come, mm-hmm. and then people like that. It's just like a group of friends doing. Yeah. a podcast and mm-hmm. talking yeah, shit talking and country. Like having some cool guests like you guys mm-hmm. and like all these other people yeah. mm-hmm. and I feel like that's what people look for in us.
Yeah.
I feel like the moment you think you're like famous is where like it's gonna kind of become your downfall, mm-hmm. even exactly. though it could be true mm-hmm. whether you're famous or not, or I consider myself famous or not, I would never want to change like how I structure this because mm-hmm. yeah. this is like the gold. In my opinion.
For sure.
Yeah, because I think the reason you get up there is because of how you were in the beginning. I think the real, real, like, hack there for, you know, people that do anything related to that, it's just, like staying the same person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, also, I feel like we don't think, like we're those guys or mm-hmm. or anything like that, because I feel like, you know, we live together, like, we see each other struggle every single day.
Yeah.
I feel like we struggle every day. Every day's new stuff. I feel like we try to fight for a spot every mm-hmm. day.
That's dope.
You know,
that's not dope.
Well, honestly, like we
that's dope. That's dope that you fight. That's dope that you fight.
We just the poke, right? Can we just support him, please?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I think like we really fell in love with like the journey, like really going for it. You know, sometimes we like sit down and you know, like after we're done with work, you know, like 2 a.m, we think like, oh, you know, like what are we doing? Like the state of
my bad. I thought you meant that you said that we fight, like you three fight. For a spot, like who's in charge?
Oh no! I meant like
that's
spot.
Why I said, hey, it's not cool.
Like we fight. You say, oh, like we made it to the big time, or whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. I really think like as a collective, we don't think that we fight.
Like they stay hungry.
Yeah, I wish like us. I wish to like we fight for a spot and making it, you know, and like and getting
yeah.
Better
and I feel like what helps us a lot is that we have like these talks almost every day too, because you know he mentioned earlier that like at one point like the parties were getting to him, mm-hmm. and like we actually sit down after like some big event that we went to, like we mm-hmm. met the president of Sony or whatever, and then we'll go home. We're like, hey, if we want to keep meeting these people, being friends with them, like mm-hmm. we gotta post more every day. Like yeah. we realize what's going on, so I think mm-hmm. that's what helps. Yeah.
We wouldn't do that a lot, bro. We just recently started doing that. Mm-hmm. I recently started pulling up to Freddie's house, fucking definitely with the new project that we got. You know, the podcast mm-hmm. that we'll talk about in a little bit. That's what we've been trying to implement in our things too. You know, with our 48 music and all that. Those yeah. meetings are yeah. important. Yeah, you know, they don't have to be yeah. at a table sitting down in an office. They could be just like this. You know,
yeah.
But just the fact that they're getting together is.
Yeah, that's yeah. like super important.
Yeah, and then like how you guys say like, oh, you know, like you guys brought up, you know, like, oh, the comeback's real and all that. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're on our own journey. I think recently we moved in together. That was a big deal.
Yeah. That's
and cool. like, of course, like you learn, you know, like it's going to be struggles. But like right after we got demonetized from mm-hmm. YouTube, that's our main source of income.
You got demonetized?
Yeah. Like they're like, oh, you know, you're never going to get paid again. You could keep doing it. You could stop. It doesn't matter. Choose.
No warning.
Why, you know, why did you guys get demonetized like that?
I don't know, just someone from the industry.
You're lying.
Swear.
You think somebody did it to you guys?
Well, we got no warning. Even the people from YouTube were like, hey, you know, like, we don't know. Yeah. Well, like, well, I don't know either. I appealed. And it was, like, supposedly not original content or something like that.
How the fuck?
So when I sent my appeal video, I'm like, look, I'm in my studio. Exactly. Like, this is me. Like,
how more original can you get?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, most definitely. So.
And you guys wouldn't use copyright music either?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Did you guys... incorporate, or did you guys do all of the legalities for your logo and your name and all that?
Well, yeah. After we did, but
yeah,
like,
the name stuff. Yeah, I think we're still working on a few other things.
Yeah,
but like that don't affect that.
The monetization.
Like, yeah. So then from there, you know, like you know, you have your hopes up. You know, like all of you know the group gets together. You know, lives together. Like, oh, we're gonna do this. Like, we were already doing it at 100%. You know, the garage that you guys saw, like, we did a merch there, absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, now look, we have a guest bathroom, we have this, we have that. Like, we're really going at it, like maybe a month in, it's like, oh, you know, you're never gonna get paid for what you love again. I banned it.
Wait, so they demonetized you guys 3 weeks after you started the entire project?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So when we moved out because you know shit was going good for us. We're like, hey, let's move out. We moved out 3 weeks after we got demonetized. Yeah, both channels too.
Yeah.
So that's how you knew something was wrong, because on the second channel we got demonetized a month before, and the second channel is attached to like all the Agustwa pasta, and the main channel is attached to my personal. So I guess they realized they got the wrong channel or some shit. Then they went after the
Wow.
And it's crazy because you guys are, look where we're at. Like, you would think, you know, kind of like maybe you would be able to find some shit out on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody like with a connection or something. I don't
know. Yeah. Well, now, that happened maybe like 4 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're back. Like, it's monetized again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was still.
Come on, bro. You guys are terrible storytellers.
No. They got a little about to go, man.
Yeah, you guys just fucking.
We talked about like 20 minutes. Yeah, yeah. We're talking about monetizing again.
Yeah. No, so.
I was going to give you a 20 right now.
Can you guys give me. Can you guys give me the fucking real good roller coaster story, bro, where you guys go back up? It wasn't just the. Oh, now we're monetized again. Like, really? Like, that's it?
I was trying to tell you guys on the story.
Damn. Yeah, so that happened. Bad and everything.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I'm, like, there's, like the similarities you guys are saying. Like, there's a comeback. I think, you know, we're on, like, kind of on the same path, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're figuring things out. We're, like, on track to, being able to make a living out of it and all that stuff. Dope. So, yeah, I think, I forgot what the question was. I was really
I was about to ask you again. How did you get back to getting monetized? Because the whole downfall, and right now in the story, you're at rock bottom.
Yeah, rock bottom. Oh, there's some wonderful people at YouTube that just really
helped you guys out.
Whenever we go to these events, like we try to meet as much people as we can.
Yeah.
So that's where we met like people from YouTube, and they helped us out.
Dope.
But like it was like a super long process. It was like 5 months of waiting.
Was it paperwork or what was it? Like they just had to find it was like Scooby-Doo type shit?
Yeah, like? It was like... Well, I mean, they figured out. We were just waiting.
You kind of never really found out why.
Never found out.
That's weird.
Even our agent reached out too, and they gave him like some bullshit stuff. He's like, okay, give me like the reason, like what video or like something, you know, so we know.
Yeah. Somebody in the industry, like up above, you think maybe had some type of influence.
Yeah. So we never really announced like, hey guys, we're monetized again, because
it's not really people's business type thing.
Yeah, and I don't want like. Maybe like the person find out again. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like if you know, you know, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you mentioned it a few times.
You think sometimes like those crazy things just happen to like people that are like doing some bad stuff, but you know, it happened to us.
It happens to honestly, people doing good stuff too.
Yeah. I like to thank everybody, you know, from like industry people that watch this. I think all of them like really, really like us, and they like the work that we do. You know, we thank you guys, and like you know, they really stuck their necks out for us on that time. And
when I first started seeing you guys pop up, I really fucked with the stuff that you guys were doing, like, and I would feel bad que les decían no sabo kids, you know. I've always been against bullying because I was bullied when I was in middle school, and I always hated it. And whenever I would see those comments, that shit would like, hasta como más me daba, like, man, I want to fuck with these guys because of the fact that people are talking shit about them, you know. Obviously, like, it's not really in the topic, but like when they went against like Yaritza and them, that kind of made me feel bad too, because I'm like, they're making fun of their appearance, you know. Yeah. Like at that point, that's being racist.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fucked
kids
up, right?
They're young, you know. Yeah. Like
not even 18.
She doesn't know, like, you know, how the world fucking is so cruel and shit. And you know, probably she didn't say it, like, and I'm sure she didn't say it with any bad intentions.
Yeah.
Nomás le salió como le salió, and unfortunately. You know,
man, I could relate.
There's unfortunately, you know, they're both born, whoever's criticizing her is born somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
So no es como que, oh, el no escucharon lo que dijo el compa aquí alrededor de la cuadra, las mamadas que dijo. No, it's not like that. It's like you're talking about a whole another upbringing, a whole another, you know, something.
Yeah.
Donde ellos no entienden el rollo cómo está allá en México or cómo se llevan or like say, porque es más pesado. Yeah.
I mean, they're like American kids.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, their parents are from Mexico, but it's you can't blame them. Like, their school is all in English. Everything over here is so Americanized. They want to erase our culture over here, you know? Like, just now, we're the ones, the Mexican industry is, like, trying to pick that back up with the music, right?
Yeah.
But over here is all American stuff, you know? So, se pierde, and it's hard to...
Yeah, you can't blame her for what she said, honestly.
Yeah, and also I think it was like really messed up how if you really well actually like some of the stuff that happened was because of the on the podcast here, and they were well like how they said oh how do you like the food here in Mexico City,
right?
And they're like oh no me gusta la de mi rancho, and I feel like or like from where they're from you know like
yeah.
it's a real real place,
yeah,
and I think that's what a lot of Mexicans would like say, you know,
yeah,
it's just kind of like crazy how
it kind of like someone says I like my mom's food better or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we
it's like what you used to.
And bro,
yeah.
I can relate being under those type of cameras, and I mean obviously not in the programa that they were on, mm-hmm. but when we did Pepe's office the first time, bro, man, those cameras, those lights,
yeah,
they reset you like that,
bro. That shit
felt
like a thousand suns, bro, in front of me.
For real. I was like SpongeBob when he only knows fine dining and breathing.
Yeah,
like I didn't have nothing else to say.
Hey, what's his name?
Like people think it's so easy to talk in front of the camera, bro, too. Like it really is.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
And
no,
trust me, I have a lot of friends that I would like to put in my podcast and all that.
Yeah.
You know, musician industry and all that. But I think about it and I'm like, nah, you wouldn't be good on it. Like,
and not even that, we don't even make the decision. Some of them tell us, like, man, give me some time, you know, yeah. let me figure it out porque it's hard.
Yeah. It takes a certain type of being comfortable with yourself speaking and being sociable enough to where you can feel comfortable, por lo menos, you know, with camera.
And they present it too, you know?
Yeah.
And then uno se puede preparar, you know, like you could do all your due diligence and then you sit down. And then, like, we sat down with Yaritza. I don't know what it was, like, something about Mexico City. And she's like, I don't like it. And I was like, oh, I don't like it either. Like, I told her that.
Oh, shit.
And then
he's like, oh, shit.
It was something, like negative, like, towards Mexico. Something along the lines of, like, I don't like it or algo así.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, yeah, yo tampoco porque... Oh, the reason I had to be there, you know, like, I related a lot to why they had to be there in a bad circumstances of me too. And just seeing, like... You know, the people that were there watching, like, we're watching, mm-hmm. we did everything. And then from there, like, people with bad intentions just did what they did.
Damn, yeah. Let's go on a little break. Yeah.
All right, guys, we are back from the break. And now we're going to be talking about your guys' new project, the podcast that you guys started.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cut it out. No free promo on podcast.
Can't plug nothing.
Damn.
Can't plug it up.
No, man. No time. Shit, aside from the album that we're releasing, we're also working on a big new project called Semi Guapos.
Semi Guapos.
Yeah, I know my boy Jason. He was like, Semi Guapos.
Semi Guapos.
I'm going to get you
Guapos, boy.
Bro. You know what that's called? Defamation of character.
Oh.
What?
Talk to my lawyer.
Lawyer up.
Talk to my lawyer.
What's up, guys? Yeah, no. So Semi Guapos is our new podcast that we're currently filming the first season for. We're shit, by the time this releases, I don't know if it's gonna be out yet.
But
basically, you know, we're gonna hit you guys with three seasons a year. And
packed full of then watches
or more. Yeah, that's
more.
Yeah,
let's, or more. Really?
Yeah.
And I heard he's the one that edits too.
I just show up and crack jokes, you know.
Imagine te puso for three seasons.
No, but I mean, come on, like we're but we're starting off
las highlights.
You know, we're starting off small, you know, and later on, you know, as the team grows, you know, we're gonna, you know,
we'll
do the whole editors and all that.
Yeah, how many members are in the podcast?
In the actual podcast, the people in front of cameras is me and Saul. Right now we have a team of two running cameras and audio for us as well.
Where does the name come from? Semi Guapos.
Semi Guapos comes from literally from me doing my story times, right? So I used to do these story times
on IG,
for in Hijos de García's page, and I would just go in, talk shit, whatever, you know. I would invite people to and it would be like story times, right? I would just tell them like my most embarrassing, funny kind of shit, like experiences that I've had, and it would always get like tons of laughs, and people would be joining in and giving me their experiences of different, you know, kind of similar events and shit. Like, primarily with relationships, with shit in middle school, high school, or, you know, just things that happen day-to-day, donde te da una pinche vergüenza, but it's funny to you later on, you know what I mean? Kind of like that legado shit that happened to you guys, you know? Like, stuff like that. Like,
that's pretty much the essence of the
podcast, huh? And it was super, super cool, because people loved it, bro. They loved to hear, you know, the realism of what we are too, you know, we're people, you mm-hmm. know, we're people too, aside from doing the music and stuff. Yeah. And you know, like it's such a good, it was such a good little platform to release, you know, little penas que te dan, and you're like, yeah. fuck, I still think about this shit till this day. And the name Semi Guapos came up one time. I was on Instagram Live, and I was feeling myself that I was a little, you know, freshed up, yeah. like a new outfit. Yeah, I had my little Dolce & Gabbana outfit or whatever.
Perfume de Ducci looking ass.
Yeah, Perfume de Ducci, yeah. yeah. Yeah, and I was feeling myself. I was driving and shit, and I was on live. And then I remember because the comment section is fucking ruthless on my story time, and everybody's just talking shit about me or whatever, you know? And they're like, oh, ya se cree guapo este güey or whatever, you know? Like, they would yeah. say that and stuff, you know? And I would laugh because, you know, that's how I put it, así nos llevábamos, like, with my fans. And I'm like, man, aquí puro, I'm like, ni muy muy ni tan tan, güey. I'm like, aquí soy semi guapo. I forgot how I said it specifically,
but
the word semi guapo came out right there, right? And then people started hashtagging that shit in the comments, like, oh, semi guapo, this funny. And that, yeah. you know, because it's not all the way back down, yeah. not all the way up, you know, you're right down the middle. And I kept thinking about that name. I'm like, damn, that'd be a cool ass podcast name, you know? Mm-hmm. And I told Saul about it.
I thought it was funny as soon as yeah. I heard it.
Yeah, the semi guapos. Because it's basically tying in, like, como somos nosotros. I know primarily.
lo que somos.
No. What I'm saying. I'm not. I don't mean by that. I mean by us being a culture that grew up with Spanglish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Con el español y el inglés. Mm-hmm. Y querer unir ese pedo está chingón, pues, you know, para mí, like semi, que no significa nada en español, semi guapo, like no significa nada, pero es como nomás introducir un poquito el Spanglish yeah. in the name, you know.
Yeah, he said semi.
Yeah, because he said semi,
yeah,
you know. Yeah,
because it's the English word.
Yeah, I told him yeah. about the podcast and he was like, semi guapo.
Semi guapo.
Guapo.
Oh, man. Yes, and where are you guys shooting from right now?
In Freddy's home? In Freddy's home. We're shooting.
We built a whole studio set también. We have different camera points too. It looks really good. And shit, now that we're on cameras right here, I'm officially inviting I'm officially inviting a new guest to our Semi Guapo studio, Augusto Papa.
You guys gotta hold them to it if they don't.
Yeah,
do it.
I need a date right now.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, let's
private
lock in a date.
Vegas.
Right, yeah, yeah, we'll do. We'll shoot and then we'll go turn up after.
Damn, that'd be dope.
Wait, you guys are older than 21, right?
Yep. And over?
Yeah, we really look that young.
Yeah,
how old are
we? Like, still, like, even when, yeah, shit, when we met you guys. When we met you guys, I for real thought that I was talking to, like, 17, like, you're the youngest looking, bro.
Yeah.
And
I'm the oldest.
You are the oldest?
Yeah.
Pero no hace nada, imagínate.
Te gusta hablar, ¿verdad, morro? Mejor ponte a hacer.
Morro. Huevón y feo.
Huevón y feo.
That's fun.
Dude, no, we're laughing because, like, this is nothing.
This is us every day.
Right. Typical. But he looks like he's taking it personal.
Yesterday he called him a nopal asoleado.
Dude,
no way. That's more mid-tier.
That's cancel culture.
And now we're going to...
So I'm 24, 23.
Oh, that's how you look. I feel like you look like you're 19, fucking 21, and like 20, bro.
Yeah.
I bet. I'll take that.
I'm going to take you guys to the best strip club in Vegas, bro.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, you guys can vlog in there. It don't matter.
We'll go get bottles.
Hey, about our content?
Yeah.
I don't know about the hustle.
Don't let us vlog in there.
No, no, we're seeing because I have a girlfriend.
Get the in it.
Oh, yeah, but when you had a girlfriend at the Smoke Me Altar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I missed out so much.
Don't be like me.
But you're acting like if we're going to take you over there and you're going to smash. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. This is not Tijuana, bro.
Yeah, it's not Tijuana. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man.
Roll the clip.
I thought it was the best. No. There is a clip of me out there.
No, it is horrible. I want to see it when it drops.
No, we can be right here.
No, it is.
Hey, let's lock in a date then.
Let's lock in a date.
Yeah. I mean, by the time this airs, that date's gonna pass already. Yeah, but
we were planning to go to Vegas.
When
we have like this goal that we want to take like a private jet to Vegas and then spirit back.
Artists be doing that, bro. Don't think they always take.
No, we're going to take the empty leg, the one they put on sale for like Black Friday.
Yeah, we're going
to. That's our goal. You're going to fuck around and be on somebody else's private jet. Be in there chilling right there.
Yeah.
Well, when, so we the way we structure it is that we film every week, right? So literally any week that you want to, pick a day and we're ready.
No, we're down.
We're down.
When?
Augusto fans.
Right now,
we're down.
No, I see the IBM was more. Right now.
Yeah. I'm saying, pull out the calendar and see when you go.
You guys can bleep out the
Google Docs.
No, I'm actually down whenever.
Yeah, but we actually not doing shit. So,
like, I feel like the only one with like the sort of busy schedule is just you. But like, I'm free like Monday through Sunday.
But I'm down though.
Perfect. Well, next week we're gonna be.
Next week,
if you guys are down, we could do next week. Yeah, we could even do before New Year's.
For New Year's.
Yeah, if that's too soon, then the week after. Like the first week of January.
Mid-January?
It doesn't matter. What about
I think mid-January would work for me better.
He took out his phone. Like, he has a calendar.
Bro. No, bro, he just looked at the fucking clock.
We don't know. No, it's because I was like, Christmas coming up. I have bought no gifts yet.
Oh, yeah. Nah,
he just looked at the clock and he's like, yeah, next in January.
He looked at the time.
Yeah.
So,
I think, like in 3 weeks, we'll make the drive out there. Right, we're excited. Thanks for the invite. Sure. We appreciate it.
What's your guys' goal with the podcast?
Bro, honestly, we look up to you guys, machin, bro. Like you guys have such a big
influence?
A big influence, that's the word. You guys have such a big influence in la música, en el ruedo así de la música mexicana.
And especially with the youngins, the youngsters.
Yeah, and
that, you know.
And that's something that also I guess it also ties into what I'm going to say, but bro, like it's dope to me in my head when I have a conversation with Saul on the podcast and we drop knowledge or we drop like shit like that for the youngsters and shit. I mean, we're not that old, pero, you know, ya estamos un poco correteados and shit. but when we drop knowledge, I feel good about that, bro. I feel like, damn, like we're doing some kind of a service for the community. You know what I mean?
And you can make a difference.
Too, so. Yeah, and you guys do that as well. You know, you guys offer entertainment. You guys also offer, you know, here and there, like, you know, putting people on with this and that, you know.
Consejos.
Yeah. And that's something that we really want to do, but we want to give it our flavor and not steal from anybody or whatever. Yeah. You know, like I said, we look up to you guys, but we're not trying to copy you guys. Yeah.
I feel like the main thing about the podcast is like we make it as chill as possible. Like down to even the mics that we use. We just clip this thing on and me and Freddie have a cup on our hand and we're just chopping it up and we have a segment where we go IG live. So we're just reading the people's comments and we'll go over the stories. And Freddie's a fucking great narrator, as you guys can tell.
Yeah.
Great story.
We were talking about that.
So, it's like, it's very entertaining. And honestly, as big as we can make it, bro. Shit, if it's a talk show on Netflix someday.
Or a talk show on Spotify.
On Spotify.
What you talking about? What you talking about Netflix?
Bleep on Netflix.
The Spotify building. Recording podcasts.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. No, I think it's dope that, you know, the people that support you guys are able to see a different view of you guys. You know, I think so many people are used to just like seeing the artists, just them on the escenario, them in the studio, and like, you know.
Yeah, and you guys having like such a like a strong hold on your fans, them being able to see a little bit more you guys' personality. Yeah. I think too, at the end of the day, it makes like the music more personal.
Definitely.
And they'll be more attached to whatever you guys say. Especially with this new album you guys got coming out.
Bro.
It's been years.
Yeah, I'm excited, man.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy that I'm actually seeing it that way now. That damn, it really has been years, bro. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know. I think I was just fucking, like they say, I was just lost in.
Yeah, it's the depression. It has to do a lot with that because with depression, you're not worried about what's coming or what can be, or you're just worried about like where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I here and I want to be there? You know, you're not even putting in work, basically. You know.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
So for all the fans that are waiting for this album. Yeah. And then, you know, like maybe like not so fans. What would you guys tell them about this album? Like, what can they expect? Like how would you like introduce this album to them?
Are we gonna stop the? We're not gonna talk about the podcast anymore.
Sorry, I just got like.
No, you're good. You're good. I just wanted to make sure before we get on.
Yeah, we're still gonna talk about the podcast.
Okay, my bad.
Oh yeah, sorry, I just made like the segue. I guess back.
Yeah, you can ask it again. My bad.
Oh yeah. So like, how for all these. Your fans that are going to listen to this album, like, how would you introduce it to them? Like, what would you tell them about it?
you know, we'll take your ass back to 2018, yes, is what sir. I'll say, you know.
Fucking rocket ship back to 2018, yeah, for sure. Nah, it's very nostalgic. I feel like you guys are going to really enjoy the music that we made. It's back to our roots, you know. You guys, you're going to be able to relate to it. And then just the collabs that we have, the collabs with Fuerza Regida will definitely take you back to the time that,
oh yeah,
you know,
machin. Yeah, we have a collab with Fuerza, we have a collab with Calle 24.
Calle 24 is on there, Farmers.
Yeah.
That's
dope.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, I had a question about the podcast. Are you guys planning to have any artist guests, since you guys kind of have that connection with them? Maybe who could we expect?
Yeah, no, yeah, that's definitely one of the big things that we want to have on the podcast, and that we have already. As far as filming this first season, we've had one of our own artists that we represent, our brothers.
Los Nuevos Escoltas.
Yeah, Los Nuevos Escoltas were on the podcast. Yep. Amazing show. It like, I'm so glad that we actually took the step to actually do this podcast, porque it really, no sé, like, se nos da, like, bien fácil to talk and to, you know, talk shit and to kind of bring the funny out of things, you know what I mean? Yeah. And with my carnales, they were the first ones on, Los Nuevos Escoltas. The second ones that were on was my compa Chris de Tercer Elemento. He's been on the show already. Mm-hmm. And then my compa Churro B, he works at Rancho Humilde, one of the big dog's little brothers, El JB. And, you know, we're damn, like, for you guys, yeah, for you guys to be our next guest.
Guys. Damn, I don't want to hear a lot of Smoke Me Outdoor stories.
Why?
You say you don't or you do?
No, I would.
I thought you said you don't.
No, I said I would want to hear some.
He said he don't.
I said don't.
No,
he
yeah.
Don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Run it back. Run it back.
As of right now, I'm the one asking the good questions.
I swear to God.
Use that. Bro, everybody heard don't.
He got red like a tomato. He can't believe
it. We've noticed
stop
that.
Stop blaming on me. You just say you made a mistake.
I know.
Yeah, dude.
I'm saying, like, the more we hang out with
you, trying to blame it on me.
Yeah, red flag, red flag.
red flag.
Hey, when you fuck up, do you blame it on him?
Correct yourself.
You're bringing up your fuckups.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that's what a toxic working environment looks like.
Yeah, but he's red, though.
We don't have...
Well, you were saying about the SMO stories?
Oh, that I would want to hear some.
Oh, yeah, hey, don't.
Bro,
we got a lot.
Imagine?
Don't. Psych. Yeah, look at that.
No, I would want to hear some stories.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. We have
a lot of them, bro.
We have plenty. I mean the ones that we can say.
No, the ones that you can say. We want to hear those.
No, the ones that you
can't. Oh, the ones that we can't.
The ones that we can't.
Yeah,
one
those
day
are...
we should write like a tell-all book looking at
that. Yeah, that'd be
like,
that.
Then like some really crazy stuff happens.
We'll have enemies everywhere.
Yeah, some like crazy stuff happened, and that's more like
that we can't talk about. Yeah, wait.
Bro, let me tell you that Saul.
No, don't. Oh, let me tell you what.
He got scared. Let me tell you. Let me talk. He's like, no, don't. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, I know he did something.
Like, he tells me not to talk and then talk.
But like,
the feds are here. He's right here.
Fuck. Yeah. Nah, let me tell you that Saul missed out on that first year of SMO, bro. It was exactly like fucking like what you imagine the rock star life, like for real rock stars, like on some wild fucking shit. That's what it was.
Damn.
Whatever you can imagine, that's what it was, bro.
I recouped though. Remember, I recouped.
I recouped. Tell them that I
really
recouped.
Missed out,
bro. I did, bro. It's funny because even the artists on the label tell you that there was a switch. When obviously when I became single, I'm talking about being single. Like, when I became single,
he's like, Freddy, oh, did I even mention I was single?
Yeah. For real. Freddie was the one that like ended up kind of just laying low, like not even really turning up, almost kind of stopped drinking in a way. And then I fucking flipped the switch. I started turning up with everybody. And me and Chris from Fuerza, we became hella close. I was chilling with them a lot. You know, I've learned a lot from them, low-key. But yeah, fucking Smoke Me Out, a lot of bad stuff.
I don't know. I feel like on the second tour, like yeah, it was still crazy, but I wasn't as fucking crazy as the first year. The reason being is because I went broke the first year, bro. De tanto dinero que I fucking that I made, así me lo gastaba, bro.
Damn, that's crazy.
Así me lo gastaba, doggy. Like literally, I would just fucking see a fat ass check, and I'd be like, I'll get another one literally next Friday.
That's crazy.
And literally looks the exact same. Like, I'm gonna get that shit again. No, and he told I would just me, fucking go.
Can you believe he told that? I didn't even know, bro. He told me that in that time, he wouldn't check his bank account balance.
I wouldn't check it.
So he would just spend, and I'm like, that's, ever? That's he just like wouldn't hard. Check it ever, bro.
That's like that's like rock star lifestyle.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
ever do that. Anybody?
Yeah, don't you ever do that
check
shit.
Check that shit every day.
Like three times stuff. A day before Beyond, checking out at Target.
Yeah. Every day just to make sure that shit's still in there.
Yeah.
Anybody gonna take my
nah, I'm not in the rock star lifestyle. I don't even check my bank account.
Bro, you don't check.
You don't even check because we're not trying to have a bad day.
Question. I'll tell you that. You see how it's common? He doesn't check it either.
But.
Well, I check it no, after wait, that man. First year. What were you going to say?
No, that like...
He said he doesn't want to have a bad day if he looks at his bank account.
That's crazy.
Damn.
So, like, all the artists on Decimo made, like, a shitload of money.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Bro, we're kind of, I think, even one of the, like...
We're one of the middle tier.
Middle paid type shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Middle guys. You yeah, know what I mean?
It was, like, all those tours, so...
Yeah, there was big money rolling yeah, in, yeah. You know what I mean? And crazy. Even then, we were getting a lot of money with.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, man. Well, like Saul says, I wasn't checking my bank account. Part of it was because I didn't want to know how much I had a limit to. I just wanted to feel like I could fucking spend. You that know
is,
what I mean?
For me, that is literally
I'm telling
crazy.
You, bro. I went
it's unconceivable to us.
Yeah, to yeah. me too. I can't believe that. I wouldn't be able to, bro. I have anxiety. Yeah,
we gotta start singing, bro.
Yeah, and I
friend song, we gotta start bro. Singing.
And I
Jason, get the guitar, no, Jason.
No, get out the trenches.
It's hard.
Get us out the trenches.
I feel like okay. Look, I always say this. I think being a musician is one of the most difficult careers ever.
Definitely.
And being a sports player. I think those two are, like, pretty mm-hmm. insane. Yeah. But, like, can you guys, like, tell the people that are watching, like, how difficult it is to, like, really create a song? I know so for some people it happens more naturally, but, like, I feel like over time, like, it gets more and more difficult,
right? I've been
right?
dying to say what I'm about to say right now, bro. So... What people don't understand, the being a music creator, think about it like this. Like, fuck, my fucking bitch ass phone is ringing and I don't know what. It's yeah. still ringing.
He has two phones in his pocket.
His other phone.
No, it's fine. They stopped ringing. So one of the things that I really want people to know, and I think this platform is the best place to do it. Like the audience to whoever you are a fan of, whatever artist you like, and they make original music, give them more credit. This whole thing where you guys as consumers feel like, oh, that was a great song, but what else? Give me more right now. I want another song. I want another song. Oh yeah, that one was cool. Did you hear it last week? Oh yeah, check out the new one. Okay, us as artists are now conditioned to give you guys new fucking music every week, every month, or even faster than that, a whole new album every half year, because you guys need yeah. more. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that that's what we are. That's what everybody's kind of getting used to, and it's not great because it, as an artist, here's the downside. It forces us to make more music. More repetitive music, more music that we don't really pour that much of a soul into. And what happens? Then you guys are saying, oh, what the fuck? This song sounds exactly the same as the other one. Or this song doesn't sound as good anymore. Or this doesn't slap anymore. Or this and that. And what does it do to us? To me, it happened where I started creating more music and some of the shit I didn't like, but I had to take some out because you guys were asking for it. Not even my label was asking for it. I had to take some stuff out that I didn't believe in. And I felt like, damn, these comments are really fucking getting to me. Because me as an artist, let's put it into your guys' shoes, whoever's viewing. Let's say you draw a picture. Let's say you draw a picture and you're up against like 10 other people that draw pictures. And you have to present it in front of 100,000 people, right? And they put it huge up on a projector or whatever. And you hear every single one, or you hear like an audience kind of boo or yeah or whatever, right? What is it going to do to your picture? What is it going to do to you knowing that that picture came out of your head, out of your whatever feelings or you know? It does a lot to you, bro. Like, it affects you a lot because... They're not only judging the picture that you made, they're judging a connection of your imagination, of what you feel, of what how you drew it, how you wrote the book, how whatever. Like, okay, I understand there's always room for constructive criticism,
But when you're just shitting on it, mm-hmm. and you're just blatantly not caring about the person who created its feelings, because you got to put yourself in the shoes. Yeah. They're trying to create something to make you feel the kind of way, and for you to not take into accountability that these people took their time and their emotions and their feelings and whatever, their thoughts, their energy into a song or into a painting, into a book, into a movie, into a podcast, into whatever, and people just shit on it, that messes you up as an artist, and it brings you just a little more down and just a little more down, and it keeps going.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? Because this business, like you said, it is really hard, but it's really hard because you have to put your heart on your sleeve, and people have to literally judge it all the time. Mm-hmm. That's literally how you eat as an artist. If people love you, you will eat. If people don't love you, you will never eat. And that's the heartbreaking side of music that a lot of musicians hear everywhere in the US, in Mexico, in all around the world. But focusing just on the Mexican side, on the Mexican music, what I've seen that's really heartbreaking is when I go to restaurants and I see the old folks, you know, coming in with their instruments playing for $5 a song. You know, yeah, it's a way to get by and stuff. But let's take that time machine back 20, 30 years, back when they were in their prime of, you know, music and stuff. Back in either here in the US or Mexico, when they had that dream of like, fuck, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it gets down to fast forward 30 years and then you're like, holy shit, I'm playing, you know, at a restaurant when their aspirations were really to make it big. That's all of us ever want, to make it big, to make it that dream story. You know what I mean? Nobody gets into an art to
be mediocre.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what
something
I mean?
Something I learned a lot from, like I mentioned, hanging out with Fuerza Regida is to kind of, I guess, offset or help out with what Freddie's mentioning. Surround yourself with other creators, with other writers. Those guys over there have literally a fucking, everyone you see around them writes with them, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's something that me and Freddie took a really long time to try to adopt. We were like on some, now the music's gonna come from us, gonna come from us. Recently, now we've been allowing ourselves to accept new material. But that can also help, you know, for mm-hmm. anybody listening, like if you feel the way Freddie's feeling, or felt, sorry, surround yourself with somebody that's just like, that's creative. Just like I've heard, you can't do it alone. No. I've always heard, fuck. If you're not, surround yourself with people smarter than you, because.
You never want to be the smartest person in the
exactly.
room.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly like that. You know, so like if that's the case, you know, a team is always better than one person, you know. More brains on one subject is better than just one.
Yeah, and I guess what I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger, and that you know, starting this whole music thing, was to not pay attention to, you know, what people don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, if they don't understand that it takes you, that it actually affects you emotionally, like, you got to take it lightly. You know, you got to take it very light. Like, don't pay attention to that kind of thing. Because it will affect you. It will affect the way that you write, the way that you create anything. Because then what you're going to do is you're going to start fixating and focusing on making that person that talks shit, making them happy, instead of all of the other hundreds and thousands of fans that commented, damn, this is fire, this is this and that. Mm-hmm. You're going to focus on that one comment that says, oh, que it's fucking piece of shit, que these guys, que no canta, que go find a fucking job, que whatever, you know? And you're gonna focus on that and make music for that, and that's not the right way to go. For any musicians watching, that's not the right way to go. Keep following it for the people who love your shit. Whatever you're doing right, keep doing it.
Like he you said, I mean? From what you started with, mm-hmm. you know, from what made you big.
Yeah, sure. That's a good message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like it had to happen this way because that's the a lesson isn't learned unless you go through it.
Yeah.
Like somebody can tell you and tell you and tell you, mm-hmm. you gotta go through it, you know. And mm-hmm. and that helped us out career wise and family wise. You know, me and Freddie were really, really distant. Like people, it's funny, we have a homie in Chicago that always said, damn bro, I feel like you guys are beefing.
He's like, I feel like you guys don't really talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And it was like that for a while. It was like that, like, me and Freddie were really distant, you know? And it's just locking in and getting back to what, you know?
Yeah.
We were in the past type shit.
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like a lot of things happen on tour, you know, the whole life change and stuff that,
yeah,
that
definitely
really sets gustos y cosas aparte. Yeah. And I feel like within that time frame, I was just going fucking wild, and we weren't really seeing things eye to eye. I mean, so you know what I mean. So I was seeing things more like on the fly, like let's go, living fast and shit. And,
yeah, this podcast now, I feel like the podcast that we have has really gotten us closer, because we get a lot of conversation and we chop it up genuinely. You know, we're brothers, so we have that natural chemistry, and it's not like fake. We're not like right there. Just we don't just stop shooting and fucking leave. You know, like we actually chill after and we just hang out. So I think this podcast, you know, when it comes out, people are going to really connect to it because it's genuine.
Because it's genuine. Exactly.
Yeah. I just was like just you guys. You guys are as genuine as it can be. You guys aren't. The way you guys are on camera is how you guys are right now setting up. You know? Cracking up, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I said, like, I look up to the podcast that you guys have because it's so natural feeling. You know what I mean? And we have a great time, you know, talking to you guys. You guys are great. Interviewers, to be honest, like your guys' questions are great.
Yeah, bro. And they, really I don't see anything written down, so it's off the dome, huh?
There's a
big ass thing right there. There's a big all the white people in the back fixing it. Like, shut up! Don't
say like, what do I say? I'm telling him I want the monitors. Alguien que me diga algo.
Oh, the water, water, please. All right, guys, that wraps up today's episode. We want to give a huge thanks to Los Hijos de García.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
The conversation is always great. Can't wait to go to Vegas.
For sure.
On a private jet and a spirit back.
We got you on the spirit back, not the private
jet.
You thought the private jet.
Hey, how about comment down below? Should they get us a private jet there?
We can afford it. We can afford it.
But
we're not gonna.
Like, you can afford it.
What if this video gets how many likes?
Man, and you know what? You know what? Let's do this. Okay, if we get a number of followers on our subscribers, how can we do it?
What do you want? You want subscribers or you want followers? You
both.
Choose. Both. So for each platform,
I don't know. Because we have an Instagram called Semi Guapos.
Let's do Instagram.
Instagram. You think that would be better, or for our YouTube channel? What would be more beneficial?
I feel like, well, I mean, for us, like, Instagram's like super important, like really important platform. Okay. Do Instagrams?
Yeah.
I think Instagram.
Pero piénsale bien. I don't want you to be in the car. Dude, you should have told them.
No, I don't know. I'm saying nothing. I can't believe this. Instagram. We're just fucking around. Okay.
So I'm just
thinking about what kind of money he's trying to give out now. Why?
I don't even know this.
Yeah.
For that's real?
Crazy. We'll vlog it, too. Dude. We'll vlog it. Well, no, I'm going to
take three outfits, bro. All
right, it'll be something fair.
We haven't even been on a private jet. And this motherfucker's
saying, we haven't been on one, but we can afford it. We can afford
this podcast.
We'll see. Shit, let's get to...
Look at Diego. Look how excited he is.
What are you guys at right now? What are you guys at right now?
Let's cut this. We're leaving. Bye.
Bro, we haven't released any media whatsoever for Semi Guapos, right? Should we do Semi Guapos or should we do about the album?
The what?
I think it should be the album.
Of what?
To help out the album, honestly.
But to do what? To pay for the private jet, look at that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, we have to get something in return.
Right. But
you know?
What do you?
That's what I'm saying. Like fair, like, something fair. Like, no somos abusones, you know.
Right.
He's looking at you like,
what the fuck? You're getting a shit off the man. What you mean?
Like, he's like, shut the fuck up. We're about to get a private jet.
You know what? I say we just drive there, drive back. Nothing crazy.
No, we can talk about it.
Sometime this year, we'll all get on a jet. And by the people watching this, we're talking about that because we set that as a goal for us. Yeah. That we saw that it's the cheapest one is from LA to like Vegas type of thing on an empty leg.
Yeah.
We know a guy and all that. Like,
yeah, no, we do too. I was just kidding, bro. No. I mean,
yeah, so that was a goal. That's why we just brought it up.
Was just random. Because Diego can't stop looking at me.
I'm trying to get out of it. Yeah, he's like, Diego's don't do that.
No, because I know in the car, like, that's his dream. He's been wanting to get on a private jet.
Yeah, that's our goal. Because
I know in the car, you're like, oh, I know I pitched Tom. So sorry.
Oh my God. He always does that shit.
What was your idea, though? Fuck it. If they really fuck with it, let's do it.
I mean, it would be, first of all, let's start with this.
How many viewers do you guys usually get on YouTube? Like what's your guys' usual like max out?
Damn. After being demonetized
on a podcast?
But you guys are monetized back again, right?
Yeah, but like the algorithm's like picking back.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's you guys' goal?
Yeah, like, what are you thinking? Like, what's in your mind? Like, what are you...
Shit, if we're talking about the music... Because we're going to do a music video for 18 Libras, right? And... or even the one that we're going to do with Fuerza, you know, which I know is going to go crazy, but the 18 Libra one is the one. I was thinking maybe there's an option where... once that shit gets to fucking 5 million or 10 million views on YouTube, which is pretty attainable, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because of the song that it is. And shit.
I bet 10 million.
10?
What?
No. We're gonna have the fans go crazy. Yeah, why is that no, shit? Yeah, two times like, a day? Like basically the viewers from here go run that shit up for 10 million.
Oh, okay.
And run it up for 10 million and we'll fucking put you guys on a private jet.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
He said 5 or 10 million. He's like 10.
Oh my god. No. I'm gonna get so cooked for this fucking car, dude.
Hey, he said 10 already.
He said 10.
How about we'll go between
7.5?
Yeah. 7.5 million? Okay, whatever. Okay,
7.5?
Yeah. We have no idea how...
We're going to have the fans run it up to the hit. 7.5 million, and I'll book the jet for you guys.
But
then they're going to be waiting for the 7.5 until...
No.
Come on the podcast.
No, look. It doesn't have to be for the podcast.
No, not for
the podcast. But I will put you guys on the jet. Because honestly, I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know if people are going to fuck with the 18 Libras or not, you know?
Yeah.
But as soon as that shit hits 7.5...
We got you guys.
Yeah.
You guys heard of 7.5 million?
Oh, y'all heard of all the upcoming guests?
We're taking 6 outfits.
All the upcoming guests. They're the bars right here.
Yeah, they're gonna put 2-3 outfits on the plane alone.
Photo shoots.
Yes. Okay, hella stories and shit.
Yeah, huh?
And on the way back, nobody's gonna know when we made it back to LA because we're not taking no shit on Spirit
Airlines. Everything's gonna be lost and shit.
Oh my god. Now,
yeah, if you guys, the viewers, run it up.
Help us out.
To 7.5, like Angel said.
Oh, shit.
7.5 million views on YouTube. That is the new 18 Libras video that's going to come out.
Yeah.
These guys are going Should on. You guys won them a trip to Vegas. A one-way trip to Vegas.
A one-way trip
to Vegas on a private jet. Yes, funded by yours truly, me and So, and 48th Music.
Baby. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching.
You should go stream the album
and
the music video.
Stream the
album. On the lookout for our podcast, Semi Guapos. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Peace.